Okay, everybody. Good evening. Thank you for joining us for our 4-H volunteer webinar on parents and what they can add to the 4-H equation. I'm Deanna Roby. I am the 4-H Youth Development Educator in DuPage, Kane, and Kendall counties. And my co-presenter tonight is Jonna Jennings, and she is the 4-H Youth Development Educator in Boone, DeKalb, and Ogle. Welcome. We're happy to have all of you here joining us tonight. Before we get started, we are recording the session. I think I mentioned that. We will send it out to everybody tomorrow with the evaluation link for the session. And if you want to go back and listen to anything, or if you know of somebody that missed it and wants to hear the information, you're certainly welcome to share it with them. It kind of works like a podcast. You would listen to it on a computer via the link that we'll send you. You all at this point have open mics unless you're currently muted, but I believe to mute yourself or unmute your mic, you use the star 6 key to mute or unmute. And if you want to do that, you can go ahead and do that. If you don't, that's fine too. John and I both have the ability to mute anybody that has a loud mic. And I know when we're all home and comfy in our homes, we've got some of those external noises going on in the background, and that's okay. At least we're home and we can go ahead and watch the Cubs game and we're all done here. So we'll go ahead and get started. When we analyze past year's 4-H enrollments, it's documented that our highest dropout rate, about 50% in Illinois for 4-H members, is from the first year members not re-enrolling for the second year. And I think many of our first year members are typically that 8 to 10-year-olds, and helping their parents become familiar with 4-H and gaining their support may prove important to helping us reduce that dropout rate. We also know that today's family structure may be different from how many of us define a family. The traditional two-parent family is on the decline, so sometimes we may need to take a look at how we're defining families and how we do our 4-H activities. So for this session, we're going to go ahead and have parent intended to refer to the adult that's supporting the child's participation in 4-H school or community activities. And this adult could be the mother, a father, aunt, uncle, grandparent, guardian, sibling, or another caring adult. This supportive adult role is crucial to the child's growth and development, not only in 4-H, but in other aspects of their life. So to help familiarize and support new 4-H families, 4-H in some counties or in some clubs have elected to create a new volunteer role, and I believe we sent you the volunteer role description. It's called a new family support coordinator, and there could be several of these in a club, or it could be done at the county level if you think that that's something maybe you could bring up to your extension coordinator in your county, depending on the number of new families. How many new families do clubs typically get in a year for those of you that are on?
One or two.
One or two. Anybody get more than that? Sometimes it depends on the size of the club, too.
Our club, we can have anywhere from probably 4 to 8 families, depending. We have a very large club, and we have a waiting list at times for people to want to participate in our club.
Great. And I think it just varies from club to club. As Tina, I heard you just say your club's large, so that does make a difference. You tend to get more that way. If you've got a smaller club, tends to be one or two, like the other person mentioned. So the role description's there if you want to use that in your club setting. The purpose of this position, though, really is to help families feel comfortable and welcome in the 4-H club. And we all know that first or second year is can be somewhat confusing, especially for people who don't have a background or a knowledge about 4-H. So this is kind of one way to kind of help get some parents involved in your club, and also to help new families feel welcome. The other way you could do that in a club setting would be older youth could help fulfill that role. And last year we introduced a new program called 4-H Buddy, and I believe I sent you the handout sheet for that. It's called the Illinois Leader Guide, Preparing Youth for Beginning a Mentor Experience as a 4-H Buddy. And the 4-H Buddy helps the new member feel welcome in the club, meet new friends, learn about some of the 4-H activities and events happening, and discover all the things that the child can do and learn in 4-H. So the 4-H Buddy kind of serves as a mentor. This is a great way for experienced 4-H members to start learning and practicing leadership within their club. And so it's a great way to get them some leadership skills and knowledge. This, I think, can also be a good recruitment tool for your club. Club members who are excited about this new leadership opportunity may recruit new club members or Clover Buds, and they can serve as their members too. And personal, we all know personal invitations to the 4-H club really are, I think much more effective, when somebody personally invites you to join their group. Questions about those two roles that we just shared with people? Ways to get others involved in your club, two new ways. So let's talk a little bit about why do you think parents get involved in their aspects of their child's activities?
Deanna, can we step back? I'm just curious if anyone uses any of those like family support coordinators right now in their club, and if they found that effective?
Good question. Or the 4-H buddy, either one.
Either one of them, if they're using them currently, or if they have tried it and didn't feel like it worked too well, or if they have and it's working out real well for them.
We are trying we're planning to try the 4-H buddy program in our club, because we are a club that has 4-Hers and Clover Buds that meet together. And our goal is to perhaps pair up an experienced 4-H'er with one of the Clover Buds who's been in Clover Buds previously, and this new year will now be a 4-H'er. So it's something that we're trying to implement, and hopefully it will be successful. But as I had shared, we do have a large club, and I think we have the ability to at least try that out, and I think it might make it for a nice transition for our Clover Buds, or former Clover Buds who are now 4-H'ers.
That's an excellent idea, especially when we look at Clover Buds, and we go from a very hands-on oriented program to more of a business-like meeting, and so those interactions where they feel connected right away to an older 4-H'er is a good way of making that transition a little smoother for them. So that's a good idea.
So hopefully it will be a go, and I can report back some success for you.
It would be excellent.
We're also trying the 4-H Buddy. We only have one new person this year, so we're trying the 4-H Buddy. It's pairing an older kid with one of the very youngest kids. It's okay, but I think there's not necessarily a natural connection there. You know, like you think of a mentor, like the person would be kind of right. A little bit more natural feel to it. So it's feeling a little clunky yet, but that's maybe just because it's the first time.
And sometimes with the age difference too, yes, I can understand how that might feel a little bit clunky, like you said.
Yeah.
Well, and some of your older kids are going to be more natural at it than some others. And so it's trying to make that right connection and right fit for all everyone involved. And maybe it's a matter of asking if the Clover Buds know an older 4-H'er in your club already. Asking if they have a request for who they would like as their mentor, because that will make it maybe less clunky for them, and the older 4-H'er may feel more honored knowing that they've been selected.
Right. We have a situation where we don't have Clover Buds, so it's, the child doesn't really know anybody in the club,
Okay.
But.
Great. Thanks for sharing, everybody. Anybody else comments about either that role or the 4-H buddy? Okay, let's move on to, we just want to talk briefly about why do parents get involved? And so to begin looking at how we get more adults involved, why do parents get involved in aspects of their child's activities? What are the reasons? Anybody?
Well, I know for us, it's so that we can participate as sometimes a family or along with our child, so we do have an understanding of what they're doing, and we have fun along with them, but it also helps us to be better mentors and support systems for them.
Anybody else have something to add? Most of the time it's to help their child, it's to help others, they're getting some sort of a personal satisfaction out of it. They may have a skill or a hobby that they want to share with young people. It's an opportunity to work with other adults, especially if you're new to the area. It's a new experience, you meet new people. And if a lot of our volunteers, I shouldn't say a lot, but several of our volunteers also, if they were an alumni of the 4-H program, they want to give back to the program that they feel that they gained so much out of. Really, I think one of the most important reasons people give for getting involved in any activity is because they were personally asked in some way or somehow to do something. And so before we can ask parents to help, they need to know basic information, such as what is 4-H, its opportunities, what's expected of their child, who the volunteer leaders are, the financial cost, is there a financial cost? Most of the time there isn't. The structure, what is the structure of that volunteer role, and how do we want them to be involved? And so parents have lots of reasons for getting involved in their children's activities, but mostly it's, I think, because they want to give back and be involved with their children. And I'm going to turn it over to Jana at
Yep,
this point.
that's fine. So we've talked about why parents get involved. Now we want to talk a little bit more about the benefits of having parents involved in the 4-H program. So, off the top of your heads, can anyone tell me what are some benefits of having parents involved?
Well, when the parents know what is going on, it certainly helps the kids to keep track of things, and it helps them to show up and, be present and involved at different activities.
Most definitely. What else?
I know with our club, at both the 4-H and the Clover Bud level, we do have parents there so that if there are any issues, the parent is right there to handle things. We don't want to be the disciplinarians of sorts, or anybody having to, we just don't have the resources to do that with the size of our club, and having the parents there with their child, that helps in that regard as well.
Definitely. Anyone else?
I think it's good just to keep them in the loop with things like the first person mentioned. I mean, they need to be, kids can't keep things in check, so you have to have somebody there to keep track of them.
Exactly. I would agree with all your comments are excellent comments and wonderful reasons why we need to encourage our parents to not only stay at the meetings but get involved in the meetings. So we all know that if a parent stays at the meeting, they get their members will get extra support. Their personal kids will get extra support. They'll have a better feel for what's going on at the meetings, what are their kids are signing up for, what are they committing to. Parents usually are the ones that have a clue of what the schedule is at their home and what will work and what won't work. And so if the parents are there, you may be able to move a little faster on planning events and activities because the parents will know, yes, that will work or won't work. And members are more likely to have the necessary supplies that they need. So if they were told to bring their record books or if they were told to bring certain things or community service projects, if the parents were at the meeting, they may be, there's more inclined to follow through. So there's lots of benefits as far as the parents being involved. And of course, the other benefit too is that the caring relationship with the adults create at the 4-H Club and beyond. So, it's not just your kids that are benefiting from your experience of being there, but it's other kids too. So we need to look at that as a perk that not only do our kids benefit from other parents being involved or our parents being involved, but also from others being involved too. So what are the benefits for parents themselves to come? So we know that there's benefits for the parents to come for the kids, and for the 4-H club as well, but what benefits are there for the parents to come? Any ideas?
Parents get a lot out of it too, and it's a way of me personally. I never grew up in 4-H, and gosh, it would have been great if I could do all of these things. So I get a chance to enjoy them.
Very good. You get to live through your kids, maybe through the 4-H experience a little bit.
Exactly. Not in an overbearing way, but just in a really fun way to be able to share and learn.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else?
I think parents get a chance to get to know the other families or the other children, the leaders, on a different level than if they were not involved.
I would agree.
Well, it's hard to keep new members if the parents aren't involved because the parents don't feel a connection to anybody.
Exactly. Excellent. You guys are you guys should be teaching this yourself. So there are a lot of perks, exactly. All that you mentioned are wonderful benefits for the parents, because not only do they get to have a shared experience with their child, so if they were never in 4-H, this is their way to maybe get a taste of 4-H, as was mentioned earlier, but it also improves family relationships. You know, if the kid knows that mom and dad are going to be supportive of them, chances are they'll go farther in their 4-H activities. They're going to feel that their parents have their back, and they're going to feel better connected to the 4-H program if the parents are involved. Also, the parents can share some talents and skills at the 4-H club meeting, things that you may not realize that they can do, or skills that they can offer to the 4-H club. And one other thing about it, you know, in today's world, you know, people say no one sits out on their front porches anymore or really gets to know their neighbors. It's a great way for parents to get to know their children and their children's friends, and also their children's parents if their parents are showing up as well. So it's kind of a nice way to get connected a little bit better on a more personal level. And as an adult, it allows you to make new friends. It's not just your 4-H or your 4-H are learning and making new friends, but as an adult, you too may be making new friends that, especially if you're new to the community or whatever else, this may be a wonderful connection to get involved in your community and to connect with people that you did not know. And then also, you know, it's another way for people, parents to figure out a way to contribute back to their community. So especially if they're new to the area or they really want to help somehow with their community, but they don't feel like they can take it on themselves, this family interaction and parent interaction allows them to get involved in their community with their child. So it's a really good benefit for the parents, not just for the 4-H'er, for them to be involved. So we need to figure out how we better sell it to the parents so that we don't become those babysitter situations where parents are like, I'll be back in 5. We really need to, as when we look at the 4-H program, we really need to make sure that parents realize that this is an opportunity for them to stay in the 4-H club meeting, to get to be more involved, and to see what their child, what the opportunities available to their child. So those are the benefits for parents. When we talk about what are the benefits for the 4-H program to have parents involved, so can anyone share some ideas of the benefits to 4-H?
The more people we have involved with the 4-H program, the better variety of different things and opportunities come to the club meeting and therefore to the kids, because each parent brings their own unique set of skills to share.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyone else? I know there was another voice going on about the same time at one point.
I just was going to say, Donna, that it couldn't exist without parents. I mean, there's just no way it could just happen with kids and not having.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
And I think the other thing, too, is to the extent that we can share the leadership tasks among more parents, that helps any one person from being burned out from doing everything.
Exactly. And Dan and I both know, and I know we have some other 4-H people online as well, but, you know, as 4-H staff, we worry about how much can one person endure and take on as a 4-H volunteer. So the more hands involved share the load, the less likely we will burn you out or have you go, oh my God, what am I thinking? I'm ditching this, you know, organization. We know there are great benefits to the 4-H program. You know that there are great benefits to the 4-H program, but how do we lighten the load for everyone? And so if we get parents involved, that can certainly lighten our load as 4-H volunteers. And so we need to find ways that the parents can benefit the 4-H program, and that could be an increased opportunity to gain new skills. So like if there's someone out there that just loves working on, you know, the paperwork side of things, doesn't mind, is internet savvy or whatever else, maybe they can take on some of those tasks that you currently don't feel like you have the time to do or are not as good at. It offers youth better experiences with community. You know, they get more opportunities to do more things if there's more volunteers and more parents involved. An increased opportunity of service to their community also happens as a result of that. And then they get more support from capable people. So it's not, you know, it's just not one or two volunteers in the clubs supplying support to the kids. But if you're doing an activity at your club meetings, that there's more hands involved. The younger your club is, the more hands you definitely need. But what we what we don't want to see is when the kids finally get old enough to drive, suddenly we lose those parents, which does happen. But how do we, if we keep them engaged from the get-go, then they'll feel the need to keep coming back too, hopefully. So also they serve as a great leadership and resource base for us. They have different connections in the community that can help bring in different guest speakers, bring in different people that may have different talents and skills that could be shared at the club level. So it's just, it changes your dynamics entirely if you can include more people in your 4-H club that have those different connections within your community. So now that we talked about that, one of the reasons why we say all that stuff is that when we look at positive youth development, and that we call it Big M in Illinois. But one of the big things in with positive youth development, when we talk about 4-H, is the first characteristic of positive youth development is that there are at least three positive, caring adults in a child's life. Research has shown that the child that has at least three other caring adults, not including their parents, in their lives, tends to be more successful in the end. So, the more we can expose them, not just to, U.S. 4-H leaders are certainly going to be some of those caring adults, but if there's only you in your club, finding those other connections for those kids is beneficial. And they may get it from school or whatever else, but we know they can get it through the 4-H program with the positive caring adults that are involved. And so getting them in connected with that. And the other thing with that is, first of all, parents and members need to, in order for them to be successful and to feel like they are wanting to be a part of that, the other part of that positive youth development is inclusion. And so we need to make sure that at our 4-H club meetings that everyone feels welcomed and included. And so not just for the 4-H members, but for the parents. And so it's really making those efforts to make sure that you're getting acquainted with the parents, that if you have a parent coordinator or a new family coordinator, that they're making those connections, but also as volunteer club leaders, that we're making those connections as well, that we are talking to them and we're making them feel welcome, and we're going over explaining the 4-H program to them and making sure that they feel like they understand, and we get to know their names. We don't just, that's a new kid, we don't know their names, but really getting to make a connection with not just the child, but the parents as well, because if they feel connected, they're going to keep coming back. So, with that being said, what are some ways that we can keep parents informed within the 4-H program? What do you do at your club level to make sure that parents know what's going on or to feel connected with your 4-H club?
Well, our
Our club,
president.
go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That one? Kim, go ahead. I know I heard your voice in there.
Oh, I was just, no, I forgot the question. Hold on.
Ways to
What
keep
was
your parents informed.
Our president, she's really good at group texting everybody anytime something's going on. So if we have something coming up, like whether it's club enrollments are due or whatever, she is really good about sending out a text. I usually send out emails, or I will text occasionally too, but I think it's a generational thing. But she's really good about that, and everybody looks at their phones, so that's one way that we all kind of keep in touch and know what's going on
Okay.
when it's not, during the month anyway.
Right. Who
We're
else?
probably pretty similar too. We do require parents to be, that's one of our club expectations, is that we do have a parent or an adult there for many of the reasons that were covered earlier. And we have e added a youth job, if you will, a position as a social media coordinator
Oh.
who takes care of keeping everyone well informed, posting things in a closed setting for just our group. And our 4-H club leader communicates just about everything via email. So everyone does also have records of what was covered. Our agendas are always emailed, so there's a lot of use of that and a lot of ways to retrieve information if needed.
Excellent. Anyone else?
Well, our parents usually have a meeting while the kids are doing, like, parents will have our kind of our business meeting while the kids are doing the business part of their meeting, too. So parents can come and hear things that we need to decide as parents or, you know, get kind of parent business done while the kids are doing theirs.
So are you in another room outside of the 4-H Club, or where are you at then when you're doing that?
Well, we had been doing it kind of right in the same room, but it was a really large room we had.
Okay.
And now we're meeting in another place, and it's very difficult to do it, so we're because it's a much smaller place. So it hasn't really been working out as well as we wanted this particular year, but in the past we just had, like I said, we had this very large room, and the kids could kind of be in one half of it with the parents in the other half.
Okay. And so you went over things that the kids were going to be discussing in the meeting, or what did you exactly do during your parent meetings?
Well, it just kind of depends. You know, like if, for example, we're talking about International Night, and the kids might be just talking about whatever else, but we're going, okay, who wants to volunteer for what for International Night? And this is, you know, this is coming up, so this is what we have to do, and kind of sharing things about what's expected of the parents during that time, or maybe getting ideas from parents, just, you know, depending on what it is.
Okay.
Or sometimes doing some of the paperwork, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That the kids don't necessarily, you know, it'll affect the kids, but they don't necessarily need to be in the discussions.
All right, very good. Anyone else? Okay, so some other, I mean, you mentioned texting and emailing, and then the parent meetings. I would also put out there that, you know, if your club does a written club program for the year, you know, usually at the beginning of the 4-H year, you may have a committee in your club or the officer team or whoever comes up with a program plan for the year where the kids vote on what they're going to do. So if it's written out somehow in a format where the parents can see, this month we have this and this, we're doing this community service in May, we're doing you know, we're doing a fun thing in April, they can see it all ahead of them, so they're informed on what's coming up if your club is organized in that regards. Some clubs in the past have done newsletters, which are hit and miss. I think anymore some of those are being replaced with social media, with Facebook or whatever else is a way of keeping informed. And there's the, you know, the old ancient way of just calling people and finding out, you know, making sure they know what's going on, keeping them informed. I think those things are still wonderful ways of connecting as long as people are willing to answer their phone, because as you may be aware that people are also, you know, if they don't know a number on their cell phone, they don't answer it. So it goes to voicemail or whatever else. But texting, phone calls, letters or notes, you know, people still like to get mail, and so it doesn't hurt to sometimes to drop a little note saying or a reminder to people, especially if you have some volunteers that just don't do social media or internet things. Websites, and of course, you know, as we mentioned earlier, the whole thing of Facebook and other social media sites is also well. I do believe, though, kids in their world, texting is probably the best form of communicating with them. You know, until their parents start doing it a lot, then it will be something else probably, right? So, anyhow, you need to think creatively and find out, too, from your parents, what is the best mode of communicating with them, so that it's not just taking a stab in the dark, but actually finding out, okay, what is my best mode of communication? Is it texting? And if that's not your thing, then finding that next parent or volunteer or teen that says, I can take on that task without adding to your plate. So those are all really good ideas of ways of things that can be communicated, and I appreciate you all sharing. And we know these methods work, you know, but for one reason a parent gets involved in their child's activities, they have to be asked to do so. So,
Jonna,
no matter what.
Can I just interrupt real quick?
Certainly.
With the new, and I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek saying this because all of you are aware, you know, we've moved to 4-H online. Mm-hmm. And if you have access to that site as a volunteer leader, you can email, and I believe at some point you'll be able to text from that directly as well. Now, I can't say that I've experimented with that. I don't know if Kim or if Melissa are on, if they have, but I think you will at some point, as if you're the volunteer leader for that club, be able to use the 4-H online system. If the parents have allowed, you know, text messages or emails to come, you'll be able to use the 4-H online system to do some of that. So that'll make communicating with parents and families a little bit easier for you as well.
And the only thing with that, what they can't, the people cannot respond back to the text.
That's right. Yep.
So, you know, if you want to send us a reminder, we have a meeting tonight, you can do that through the 4-H online. It's just that they won't be able to respond back to you.
But when we get better at using it, we're past this first year of newness, so we might be able to get a little bit more used to utilizing that feature in the 4-H online system.
Yep. So, thank you for that, Deanna. I appreciate it. So the other thing we have to remember is that parents are more likely to get involved if they're asked to do something. And so when we talk about that, sometimes we're like, well, what do we ask them? We don't know what their skills are. So one of the things that was sent to you was a parent skill bank survey, which is a great way of finding out what sorts of interests do parents have, or talents or skills, or just general background stuff that may be helpful for you as your club. Does someone have a comment? Okay. So this, if you look at that skills bank, you'll see that there's a variety of things. Like it breaks it down by project area, so you could find out if there's a volunteer out there that maybe would like to serve as a project leader and wouldn't mind working with a group of kids on a certain project area, or has a talent and skill that they could share at a club meeting if your club decides to do a club project versus an individual project. Also finds, you know, you can find out if some other personal skills about them, whether they, you know, even what kind of vehicle they drive in case they're willing to carpool, or do they, you know, do they like talking on the telephone or working on the computer, and are they good at keeping records? All sorts of different things that would be helpful perhaps for you to know as you're working with your 4-H club. So I would encourage, you know, you don't have to use this one as is. If there's other things you want to know about a parent that you think would be beneficial to your club, you know, adjust the skill bank as you need it. Sometimes this is maybe more than what you need to know about a volunteer, but in the same aspect, it could be very helpful for you to understand, like, are they good at organizing field trips or tours? Do they have some suggestions? And you could change us a little bit where it's maybe a little more open-ended and find out some things that maybe that they are interested in learning more about 4-H as well. So it can provide wonderful resources to help you as you are looking at figuring out ways to make better use of those 4-H volunteers. So keep in mind that once you ask for support and a parent agrees to step up, you must be willing to let go. All right, so that's that is probably the hardest thing for some of us, is that we've always been doing it and we've done it this way forever, and suddenly we've asked a volunteer, or a parent comes up and says, I'm willing to do that. It's making sure they understand. You can certainly give them as much information as necessary of what's happened in the past, but if they decide to change the way it's being done, you need to be willing to let it go and let them take it and be responsible for it. Because if you want them to continue it, we can't stand over them and direct them minute by minute on how things should be done. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And that's probably one of the hardest things for some of us to do, is to just let it go, going, okay, you know what? It just because we've always done it this way does not mean this is the only way to do it. Okay, so Deanna, I think it's your turn again.
Actually, what are some ways that you have involved parents in your clubs? Anybody willing to share?
Well, we do that Halloween party every year for Maple Park, and that takes cans, obviously. We do hot dogs and lemonade, and then costume judging and parade around the gym, and it's quite a high what's the word I'm looking for? It's
high involvement
intense.
From parents. Yeah.
It's about an hour and a half. Now, last night we obviously had it, and if it hadn't have been for a couple former friends of 4-H that I have had, I mean, I only had two kids show up and one other parents, and she had to leave early to go take her kids trick or treating, and I don't know what to deal with. But anyway, so it does. It takes a lot of hands to make things work, and when they don't come through, it really affects them. But I keep telling them I'm going to be leaving. You know, I'm not going to be a leader for another, you know.
Well,
better get this figured out.
I was going to say, and that's, you know, Kim, that is one way to involve a parent in your club, is if you can find somebody that's willing to take on that leadership role, you can certainly mentor them so that when you do leave, you know, they're prepared and they kind of have a good feel. It's always, I always feel like it's good to be prepared when you're getting ready to retire from that leadership role to, you know, start working with somebody 1 or 2 years prior, mm-hmm. so that they have a good experience or good knowledge of what happened. So, you know, mentoring a new leader coming up to take on the leadership role, or a couple of different leaders, you know, it doesn't just have to be one person. What are some other ways you have involved parents in your clubs?
Well, along that same line, we had a longtime leader, and she retired, 2 years ago? And like you said, she kind of prepared people, hey, we're going to do this. And no single person kind of stepped up to be able to do it. So that's when we started trying to say, okay, can we parse this up a little bit more? You're not willing to be the entire leader, but can you take on X, and can you take on Y? And so it was, you know, what one person took on still the bulk of the role and was kind of being mentored by the person retiring. But in order to kind of make the role more manageable for the new person, we had to kind of carve things out and pass that along to others so that, you know, the person was willing to take the role because they were, you know, they didn't have as much time to commit as the retired person.
Fabulous. And we kind of alluded to that to begin with earlier on tonight, that, you know, it takes more than just one person. And if you can parcel it out in small chunks to make it more manageable, absolutely do it the way that works best for your group. And I think nowadays, you know, parents both work. Most moms aren't staying at home anymore, or dads aren't either. And so it's best to parcel it out and have each parent take on a small piece of it. Great ideas. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on. We're going to be going over this parenting styles worksheet. And so, you know, parents in many ways are like flower gardens. Not all are alike. Some are going to take a more active role, while others will prefer to have their child involved on their own. And I'm sure in your volunteer experience over the years, you've met many of these types of parents in your experiences. And so parenting styles can be defined. There's, I think, 5 or 6 styles here, but the first one is balanced. And they want to share the 4-H experience with their child. They want information to help their child gain the most from 4-H by learning and growing in the 4-H program. And so if you have a parent who is a balanced parenting style, how would you involve that parent, or what are some roles that balanced parent could fill?
We have some parents in our club that have become project leaders, and I would probably say those parents are the ones that have a very balanced parenting style, and so they're really good at taking on a role like that, and then can lead subgroups or special activities or any type of coaching, like for horse bowl or something like that.
Absolutely. Yep. They could be a liaison with the extension office. You know, they could be the main contact leader that does the communication with the extension office. Project leader, like you mentioned, that's a great one. You know, they could work with some of your club committees, or they could be in charge of workshops and special programs. And so, you know, somebody that wants to share that experience and make sure that their kids get the most out of 4-H that they can get. Any other ideas on how you might use that person? The balanced? If not, we'll move on to the overprotective. Okay, so with the overprotective, they want to guard their child from failure. They need sometimes encouragement to let their child enjoy 4-H and what it offers, including failure and overcoming problems. And so when we talk about that parent that's overprotective, how would we best involve them in your 4-H club? This is kind of one of those trick questions. I think some good ones for this one, again, a workshop, you know, they could lead a workshop. You know, they have a little bit of control over what's going to happen in that workshop. They could, again, do special programs. Maybe you want to, the one that's overprotective, maybe they're really a good risk management thinker, and so you want them to be thinking about maybe a risk management plan for your club or group on the various activities, although sometimes that can be scary when you start thinking about some of those types of things. Any other thoughts on the overprotective parent?
That's maybe when you want to have that separate room for a parent.
Yeah. I hear you. The next type of parenting style is the overly strict. And so they set high standards for their children and are oftentimes critical when those standards are not met. Sometimes they need a little bit of guidance to let their child be a child and learn at the child's level. And so how would we involve them in our club?
Well, they would definitely be good at making sure stuff is turned in on time if they're worried.
Deadline-oriented, yep.
They could be a deadline-oriented. How many of your groups do you guys establish behavior guidelines or some basic behavior guidelines, or do you follow the ones that are, I think there's a set in the secretary's book, they're good at enforcing them as long as they know maybe perhaps not to be too overly strict or overly harsh when correcting that. If you use parliamentary procedure at all, they would be a good parliamentarian to help kind of guide the kids through that, you know, understanding how to use parliamentary procedure. They also can sometimes be good at helping the group come to consensus, you know, being that problem solver and helping the group come to a conclusion and narrowing down the decision to maybe two or three choices instead of, you know, 10. The next type of parenting style we have is the takeover. And so they tend to dominate club meetings and events. They want their child to be the primary focus. You know, you have to help this parent understand the goals of 4-H, and focusing on the purpose of the 4-H projects and activities might help reduce some of the domination. So maybe, you know, doing some 4-H project work for them. I think they could be good at 4-H online if they have a computer background. Maybe working with officers, maybe some of the recognition program. Fair time would be some good ideas for these. Other thoughts? On that role. And as we're talking about these, I'm sure all of you are thinking in the back of your mind, I can think of you can think of probably specific examples. But hopefully this is giving you some ideas of ways to work with some of these parents. And the last one that's listed here on the parenting styles worksheet is the parent that's unconcerned. You know, they give little support or encouragement to their child or club. They need frequent contact to be informed of what the child and the club are doing. And so I guess how would you... What do you think the best way to work with them is? For me, I kind of think just personally approaching them and asking them to take on a specific role, you know, spending some time maybe intentionally trying to get them engaged, or maybe you have another parent that you can assign to them to work with them directly to get them engaged and asking them to take on a role. Sometimes if you give them something simple to start with, you find out that they have skills that you didn't know they had and turn out to be a great volunteer for you, but it's making that initial contact and getting them involved. Anybody have thoughts or comments or about any of these parenting styles? I'm sure that you can relate to some of these descriptions with past or current members in your club. Even though some of them may offer some challenges to you, it's important to keep them informed about what's going on in the club. Since most of these first year members are 8 to 10 years old, their parents will have the most influence when it comes time for them to re-enroll. And so we want to make sure that they feel welcomed, they feel included, and they feel like they're getting a good experience.
And they're informed.
If they're not informed, yep.
they're going to run. And so it's not, in regards to that, I would say it's not just selling the program to the youth. It's really selling the program to the parents, because if the parents feel frustrated or confused, or, you know, and any new non-4-H related family that comes, their parent especially, that comes into the program, if we don't keep them informed and comfortable with what they're going through, they will ditch us if they're confused. And so I know one of our volunteers on tonight is said she was never in 4-H, and so perhaps, you know, you have some experiences on what you went through, but you know, if you don't know or understand, you know, when we talk about 4-H shows or 4-H fairs and all that concept, it's kind of confusing and overwhelming to a new family. So whatever we can do to help ease that transition and walk parents through that comfortably, we're going to be more successful in keeping their child in the program as well.
And I always say, too, to new parents, you know, the first and second year, the first year is really the worst. If you can get through that first year and you've got some good leaders or volunteers or other parents in your club, if you can get through that first year, the second year becomes a little bit easier. And from that point on, it's much easier. And so I think if we're honest and upfront with them, we know it's confusing, but we'll help guide you through it, and we'll make you feel a part of this group and welcome and included and involve you and keep you informed. I think most parents are happy about that and want that for themselves as well as their child.
Any comments from our volunteers in regards to that topic?
Well, you've been talking about trying to get the parents involved and doing more things. I actually have the opposite problem right now, where I have a brand new parent to our club, into one meeting, wants to dive in and be a leader and just kind of do everything.
Wow.
And I'm a little worried because they don't know anything about 4-H or how things operate or that. How do you kind of still involve them, but yet kind of keep them under control a little bit so they're not trying to do too much, and maybe that's not what the club needs at that point?
Well, I guess on my end, and Deanna, maybe you and I can both give our input, but I would say, you know, we appreciate you wanting to get involved. We're excited that you're enthusiastic about it, but we want you to feel comfortable with what you're doing. So maybe for this year, we give you this assignment to work with. And then, you know, next year we can look at exploring your options. But, you know, I think you can take it on as a team approach for your club to be successful, that it's not just one parent being involved, but to also make sure that you want her to be, or him, to be successful. And in order for that to happen, you feel that maybe you need to, you know, they just need to work into it gradually so they feel comfortable with what they're doing before they take on too much.
And actually, that's what I would have said too. You know, maybe this would be the perfect opportunity for them to sit back and take a, you know, that very first role we shared with you, the new family support. So, you know, we've got this role. Would this be something you'd be interested in the future? Why don't you sit back, take a back seat this year, and see what it is that you don't understand and that you need help with? Because we think you'd be great at fulfilling this role in the years to come for our club. I mean, that'd be just one way. But I'm with Jonna. I think if you start them small and start them with something small and easy the first year, you know, hey, there's going to be a lot to learn, and we're glad that you want to help, but here's one role that you can help with this year. Anybody else have thoughts for her?
And that's that is a problem. I mean, and by all means, we don't want to like, you're fine. Probably most people would rather have that problem than the fact that you're dragging, you have to ask parents to be involved. But there is a fine line. I totally get where you're concerned too in regards to, okay, you know, you don't want them jumping into a point where maybe they're making decisions that they shouldn't be making, or they don't know enough of the policies or procedures. As you all know, that, you know, with the university, we have different things that guidelines and processes that, you know, you have to go through, whether it's, you know, contract, not signing contracts and, you know, getting fundraisers approved and all that. So the whole concept that there are a lot of things to know is a good way of maybe saying, you know, like Deanna said, just let's, you know, let's get you, we're happy that you want to be involved, but maybe let's just get you little things at a time so that you get more familiar with what the process and protocol is.
Does that help?
Well, that was kind of the approach I was thinking of taking, so it just kind of reinforces that would be a good idea to kind of
you know, give her the encouragement to take it all in, see what's going on that first year, kind of slowly ease into it instead of letting her try to dive in head first. So
absolutely.
And then I think after a year, you could ask her, so you've gone through a year. What is it you think you would really like to assist with? You know, let them, I'm assuming her, I don't know if that's her or him, but letting them you get a year under their belt, and then after the year's over, saying, okay, you've gone through a year, you know, we'd love to have you step up and do more. Any other comments? Okay. All right. So the last section that we want to talk about a little bit is about recognizing parents for their assistance, because that's kind of a final step. In order to make the parents to feel appreciated for their contributions, we do need to figure out the recognition process. And it can be simple, but it also needs to be meaningful. So just like many styles of parenting, recognition is a personal issue. So some of us like public recognition. Some prefer more personal one-on-one thank you notes. And some would just prefer not to be recognized at all. So the one size fits all when it comes to recognition doesn't necessarily work. So give me some ideas, if you would. What are some creative ways that you have shown appreciation to your helping parents?
Or ways that you have been appreciated or given recognition that you liked.
You valued. My gosh, we don't thank them, Deanna.
Well, I will tell you, you know, for those of you that are on tonight, I think some of you probably did the volunteer survey for us. And many of you said, you know, you don't do it for the recognition. You do it because you enjoy working with the kids. You want to give back to the program. And so it goes back to kind of what Jonna said to begin with. You know, some of us like that public recognition. Others don't need that recognition. And it just depends on the person. One of our staff persons typed a little instant message here to me, hugs, candy kisses, notes, you know, notes and letters, personal notes and letters from the kids. If you can get kids to write a thank you or sign a thank you card, that's always appreciated as a volunteer, and most adults like that. Any other ideas that people want to share?
Well, we often like cookies or some homemade thing. Now that's not going to work with everybody, but that's
most people like that though.
Like a homemade, you know, like you said,
yeah.
Put yourself into that kind of thing. So
yeah.
It's even a volunteer reception where it's been very low-key in the sense that no one is getting singled out, but yet everyone can come together and at least socialize a little bit, have some type of a treat where they're all shown value and their appreciation is acknowledged.
Very good. Anyone else? So some of your comments about maybe a verbal thank you at a special get-together or dinner. And I don't know how many counties still do. I don't know if any in your county, in your unit, Deanna, do like dinners for your volunteers yet or no?
No, we Kane does a volunteer potluck. You know, we provide the meat and the drink, and we have everybody bring a dish to pass, and we do a volunteer. But we don't get a lot. We get a few, but not tons. It just depends on, you know, the individuals and what they like.
Mm-hmm. So it may vary. I mean, in our unit, I think there's a potluck in Ogle, and then, you know, it just varies from county, you know, between Boone and DeKalb, what they do as well. So sending a thank you note or giving them a personal thank you note is always a nice little gesture, or something from your officers or maybe some of your 4-H members. I know when I've helped at a 4-H club, you know, one of the nice things that you get are those nice little handwritten thank you pictures drawn and everything from 4-H'ers that thank you for your time are always those nice little things. You're like going, oh, you know, they acknowledge or recognize that you're doing something, which is kind of sweet. Recognizing them at your 4-H club meetings or groups achievement program. If your club has an achievement program, making sure you recognize your parents for their contributions is a nice way of doing it.
And actually, in Kendall County, we do that. We do a certificate. They get the certificate or the pin, the service pin, and then in Kendall County, they buy them a little small token. It just depends on what it might be that year. One year, it might be a calendar or a T-shirt, those types of things. But those are also ways that, we do recognize volunteers. Check
Excellent.
with your check with your county office. Maybe they have pins that they'd be willing to give you. If I mean, some of our offices have a lot of those extra pins and those types of things. They might have some gifts that they'd be willing to share with you.
Okay. Some personal phone calls to the parent, just thanking them for their time, letting them know that you appreciated what they did. Presenting them, as Deanna mentioned, a small token of appreciation. And then, as I mentioned earlier, some personal thank you notes from the members. I know in some of our counties, businesses donate different things to the 4-H program, and we encourage some of the kids to actually send thank you notes, as a club. And I think those mean way more to even our businesses and to our parents than when they come from adults, when it's actually seen by the kids and appreciated by the members benefiting from the program. So, anyone have any other ideas they want to share that weren't mentioned? Okay, but I would say, there are lots of different ways to recognize them, and you can be as creative as you want. But and also, find out, and you may know even from the parent, if you do a parent survey, you could ask them what ways do you like to be recognized, and that might help you understand, like, okay, do they like public recognition, or do they just not be seen, rather be thanks behind the scenes and not get the public acknowledgement. So, but involving parents in our 4-H clubs and groups truly makes 4-H family a very family affair. So, it's important, and they add a nice aspect to our 4-H program. So, that has been one of 4-H's positive attributes for a long history of doing that we are very family oriented, that we encourage the parents to be involved. And I would like to refer you to the There, at one point, there was a Parents 4-H pledge. If you're interested in that, I'm sure as staff we can find one for you. It's out there, and it's the pledge is also included in the Helping You Help Youth fact sheet, and called Involving Caring Adults in 4-H. So, go
And
ahead, what, Deanna?
that was sent to you, so you should have that resource. We emailed that to you. It's on the very last page, the Parents 4-H pledge.
So, if it may help be helpful to review with your 4-H families as well, and to help parents understand that we really do want them involved in our 4-H program. So, as we wrap up this lesson, please know that there are many different resources out there and available to you about involving others. There are a number of resources that may help families become more comfortable with the 4-H program and feel welcomed in the club. And those include, of course, our Illinois 4-H Clover, which hopefully all of you have seen that, and it's absolutely, we keep making major improvements, and it looks better and more professional all the time. So, if your parents haven't seen one, please make sure that they have one in their hands. The volunteer support helping you help youth fact sheets. There's also, if you're interested in it, there's also what's called New Kids in the Clover newsletter, that can be can distributed to the new families in 4-H, in your counties. There's also, if you have your 4-H show and fair book with the exhibit requirements, even if it's last year's, I think sometimes that is a helpful tool for new parents going, what is this? I don't understand when we talk about projects, and I don't understand what you mean by exhibits. At least they might be able to have that as a resource to look at and get a better feel for what's coming up in the summer. Your county 4-H newsletter, or if your county does weekly email updates, filling them in, that those are a nice way of keeping informed of what's going on in your county. Of course, if your club does a newsletter, that's another great one. That's totally optional. And then, of course, making sure that they're aware of the different websites, your county extension website, and then hopefully, we've been told that it's coming. We haven't seen it yet, but the state 4-H is developing a new website. It's going to be hopefully way more user-friendly than it's ever been before, for volunteers and 4-H members to use. And so I thought that was, it was supposed to come out in October. We're hoping, what, in the next week or so, maybe?
I think in the next week or so, yes, is what we've...
So we will be sure to share that with all of our 4-H volunteers once it comes out. But that's another good resource to make sure that parents are aware, because on that website will be a variety of different opportunities available to 4-Hers for them to get more comfortable with them and to find resources available to them as well. So if you're interested in any of those resources, I would again encourage you to check your local extension office and your extension program coordinators in your county. They'll be able to help you, and if they can't, tell them to call Deanna or I, and we will find those resources for you to make sure that you're getting what you need to help you in your job as a 4-H volunteer.
So one other one that we sent you in your list of handouts or your materials for tonight was the 4-H Family Handbook, and this is new. We sent it to you in a PDF form. I would encourage you, don't print it out, don't waste the ink. Stop by the extension office and grab it. It's a great book, lots of information. It's free. There's no cost to you or even to our local offices to get this family handbook, but I wanted you to see it so you knew what it looked like and what's included in it. Explains about what positive youth development is, what's experiential learning, you know, how are families involved, all sorts of different things. There's a lovely glossary in the back that tells you all those lovely terms that we use and the life skills that kids are gaining. So really a good piece, new in the last year or so. And so, you know, please stop by the extension office and ask the office to order you some copies if they don't have them, or pick up a copy today or tomorrow or sometime this week. But it's really a good resource. Most Any definitely. Other questions or thoughts before we wrap up? We hope this was a useful webinar for you tonight. We hope this is a way that you like to learn. We'll be sending you an online evaluation link. We hope you enjoyed and learned something new that can be utilized in your volunteer role and involving parents. So unless there's any other questions, we thank you for joining us and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, Deanna and Donna.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks Bye-bye. For coming.